You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report. Thank you for the honor of addressing you. My name is Alexander Alfano. For me, an inspiration to bring you this weekly report on religious liberty news, reminding you that the church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. We can't just stay on the sidelines and let the culture do its own thing. The Religious Liberty Report, hoping to help equip you with tools to take your faith to the culture, so that we may better understand and articulate our Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, yet bold, uncompromising, and committed to God's Word as our guide. The idea is not to win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. Most of us will agree that we are in a culture of confusion, with no points of reference. Objective facts and divine truth are routinely subordinated to appeals to emotion, public opinion, and personal beliefs. The Religious Liberty Report, on the air, working to keep America open to God's truth. Because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Welcome to the show. My name is Alexander Alfano, hoping to answer the four great questions of life on this report. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going when I die? One's worldview determines how we answer the four great questions of life. And we're living in a culture that is wrestling with very important moral issues. This is a spiritual battle, yes. This is a spiritual battle. And we are here to encourage you in this battle. It can be very difficult to fight against the tide of the culture. It seems that so much is against us. As Christians, there are so many things that want to take our peace. But we must settle it in our hearts to contend for the faith. We read in Jude, verse 3, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." Jude, verse 3. We live in a culture that is aggressively challenging our faith. Faith and religion are often sources of controversy. The debates can be fierce when they concern religious freedom and the proper relationship between church and state. As we address the many issues, we must do so without sacrificing grace and compassion for the world and for the lost. As we fight to protect our values, we must not sacrifice our Christian testimony. We can, we must, confront the issues without sacrificing love. We must guard against becoming combative. You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report. This third week of December 2024, as we approach Christmas. Oh my, how quickly the year has passed. Approaching the end of the year. Soon, Christmas will be upon us. And I was reading how there's a website supposedly operated by the North Pole government and published by the Department of Christmas Affairs. They publish the naughty and nice list. Well, of course, this is all in jest. The North Pole government doesn't exist, neither does the Department of Christmas Affairs. But we do have a yearly publication of naughty and nice corporations, companies published by Liberty Council, identifying the companies that recognize and celebrate Christmas. Liberty Council's naughty and nice retail list, published every year, just before Christmas, defending Christmas. If retailers choose to profit from Christmas while pretending it does not exist, Liberty Council encourages us to politely explain why, and then patronize companies that do respect and uphold Christmas. Legal challenges to Christmas and holiday displays have been going on for decades. In order to combat anti-Christmas sentiment outside the courtroom, not-for-profit religious liberty organizations are encouraging shoppers to support Christmas with their wallets. Liberty Council's naughty and nice list classifies retailers according to whether they censor or celebrate Christmas. This is all, of course, with a reference to Santa's list of naughty and nice children from the Christmas Standard, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Liberty Council's list urges Americans to give the gift of Christmas back to the companies who support Christmas. If retailers choose to profit from Christmas, we encourage them to support Christmas. The list forms part of Liberty Council's annual Friend or Foe Christmas campaign, which they launched in 2003 to counter a rising tide of opposition to the public celebration of Christmas. Liberty Council's founder and chairman, Matt Staver, says that the war against Christmas is nothing new. It is certainly evident today in the form of religious discrimination and hostility. Repressive forces, continues Mr. Staver, have always had the same goal. First, to secularize and then eliminate Christmas and Christian symbols, Christian speech, and Christian celebrations. But in America, the First Amendment is a guard against censorship and religious hostility. In the retail market, the consumer gets to decide what stores to patronize. And we urge, and Liberty Council urges, Christians to patronize those stores that recognize Christmas and to avoid those that profit from Christmas while pretending it does not exist. The nice companies, as listed by Liberty Council, that recognize and celebrate Christmas through their marketing, their public displays, and product inventory include, among others, Bath and Body Works, Bed Bath & Beyond, Big Lots, Costco, Dillard's, Hallmark, and Hobby Lobby stores. On the nice list for retailers this Christmas season is also the Home Depot, JCPenney, Kirkland's, Lord & Taylor, Lowe's, Macy's, Nordstrom, Sam's Club, Sears, Staples, Target, and Walmart. On the naughty list for companies that silence and or censor Christmas this 2024, we have American Eagle Outfitters. They were on the nice list in previous years, but this year they've been moved to the naughty list. While its website acknowledges it is winter with an assortment of holiday-related gift ideas, American Eagle Outfitters appears to have sterilized its online store of the term Christmas, opting in favor of Grinch. The Grinch has definitely stolen Christmas at American Eagle Outfitters. Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble consistently on Liberty Counsel's naughty list of retailers that censor or silence Christmas. The well-known bookstore places little focus on the Christmas season, but rather on the holiday season with its, quote, holiday gift guide. While Barnes & Noble sells Christian and Christmas products, the bookstore remains distracted from the reason for the season. Did you know that a recent poll found that approximately 61% of adults prefer greetings of Merry Christmas over Happy Holidays? You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, reporting on the naughty and the nice companies in 2024, companies that recognize, uphold Christmas, and those that silence and censor Christmas. Another company that does not support Christmas is Best Buy. It is winter, but not Christmas at Best Buy, reports Liberty Counsel. It does not carry traditional Christmas products. Best Buy makes its debut on the naughty list in 2024. Burlington, Coat Factory, CVS Pharmacy, Dick's Sporting Goods, The Gap, Kmart, The Loft, Neiman Marcus, TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Walgreens, all on the naughty list for 2024 as not being in the true spirit of Christmas. Not displaying items with the word Christmas on them, opting instead for holiday or even the Grinch. A recent Pew Research Center survey found that roughly 90% of Americans and 95% of Christians celebrate Christmas. Here's another statistic that's not surprising, I would think. Republicans are much more likely than Democrats to say they prefer Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays. The basis for defending Christmas in the United States is grounded in the First Amendment, which protects religious liberty. But before American independence and the adoption of the U.S. Constitution, early Puritan Christian settlers had banned Christmas from being celebrated in some colonies. They opposed the practice because they believed it was rooted in pagan European celebrations that were later Christianized. These Puritans and others believed that pagan European celebrations were later Christianized after Emperor Constantine, the Roman Emperor, made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire in the year 312. You see, Roman festivals had honored pagan gods. The theatrical festival Juvenalia, for example, was celebrated on December 25th, the supposed birthday of Mithra, the god of the sun. Saturnalia, dedicated to Saturn, the god of agriculture, was observed the week prior to the winter solstice, which falls on December 21st. The celebrations of Saturnalia and Juvenalia involved feasting, heavy drinking, and gift-giving. In the 4th century, Pope Julius I established Christmas Day on December 25. As more European settlers came to North America in the 18th century, they brought with them these customs and these traditions. But before their arrival in the 18th century, the dominant Puritan spirit enforced bans on Christmas. For example, in the Plymouth Bay Colony, founded in 1620, working on December 25th was required, and toys for children were supposedly confiscated, as Christmas celebrations were strictly forbidden. In 1659, the Massachusetts Bay Colony officially outlawed celebrating Christmas. Those caught celebrating it were fined 5 shillings per offense. The ban on Christmas was repealed in 1681 in Massachusetts. But Christmas did not become an official holiday in Massachusetts until 1856. And then in 1870, Christmas became a national holiday in the United States. Most Christians that celebrate Christmas on December 25th claim that they are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. However, we all know, and scholars acknowledge, that there's no record of Jesus being born on December 25th. Christmas. Talking about Christmas on the Religious Liberty Report. My name is Alexander Alfano. Thank you for joining me on the report this week. Discussing Christmas and even the question of, should Christians celebrate Christmas? Scripture doesn't specifically command believers to celebrate Christmas. There are no prescribed holy days that the church must observe. In fact, Christmas was not observed as a holiday until well after the biblical era. It wasn't until the mid-5th century AD that Christmas received any official recognition. Well, here on the report, we believe that celebrating Christmas is not a question of right or wrong. We read in Romans 14, verses 5 and 6, that we have the liberty to decide whether or not to observe special days. Romans 14, verses 5 and 6 read, "One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems all days alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks." Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. According to these verses, a Christian can rightfully set aside any day, including Christmas, as a day for the Lord. In fact, we believe that Christmas affords believers with a great opportunity to exalt Jesus Christ. First, the Christmas season reminds us of the great truths of the Incarnation. We should celebrate Christmas to remember the birth of Christ and to marvel over the mystery of the Incarnation. Christmas can also be a time of reverent worship. The shepherds glorified and praised God for the birth of Jesus the Messiah. They rejoiced when the angels proclaimed that in Bethlehem was born a Savior, Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Also, people tend to be more open to the gospel during the Christmas holidays. And brothers and sisters, we should take advantage of that openness to witness to them of the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ. Christmas. Mostly about the promised Messiah who came to save his people from their sins. The holiday provides us with a wonderful opportunity to share this truth. Yes, I know, we all know that society has muddied the message of Christmas through consumerism, myths, empty traditions, But we should not let these distract us from appreciating the real meaning of Christmas. Brothers and sisters, let us take advantage of this holiday season, this Christmas season, to remember Him, worship Him, and faithfully witness of Him. So, how are we to respond to the Christmas season? We have two very different positions on this. One that sees Christmas as the most wonderful time of the year, and another that sees it as idolatry, pagan. Well, as with many things and issues, we first must recognize that this is an area where Christians can, in good conscience, agree to disagree. We should meditate on Paul's advice in Romans 14, where he instructs believers who disagree on potentially divisive issues to learn to live graciously with one another. He says in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, that we should be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. On the other hand, this doesn't mean that churches should never take positions on such things. With respect to Christmas, for example, a church must decide either to observe it or not to. And if we do observe Christmas, how do we observe it? It should be noted that the links between Christmas and pagan religion are not as clear as is often claimed. There is evidence that Christians connected the winter solstice with Jesus' birth for theological reasons. In fact, moon phases were used to set Israel's festal calendars. This should come as no surprise to us who confess that the heavenly luminaries were placed in the sky for signs and for the seasons. Genesis 1, verse 14. The Christmas tree is another area of contention, but the origins of the Christmas tree are ambiguous. The true origin and symbolic significance of the Christmas tree cannot be reliably discerned, given our current historical knowledge. Even if examples of the supposed pagan roots of Christmas were highlighted, it would not matter. I would argue that the symbols of Christmas, the trees, the gifts, the mistletoe, only have the meanings we assign to them. Meaning is in the eye of the beholder. By definition, it is something that we subjectively assign to things. My point is this: just because something had a meaning for some people at a particular time and place in the past does not mean that it always has that meaning, or that it has that meaning today. Nor does the use of that symbol mean that we are endorsing everything that has ever been believed about it. Think about this. Is it wrong to call the days of the week by their traditional names? Historically, every single one of the days of the week, the names of the days of the week are tied to pagan deities. The pagan roots to the names of the days of the week. This does not mean that we're somehow engaging in idolatry when we call our days names that have been tied in the past to false worship of pagan gods. We can repurpose the objects, the symbols, the institutions, and the concepts that may have originally have had pagan backgrounds. We can assign new meanings to them. New meanings that conform to our Christian faith. I heard one argument that Satan and man, they distort and they ruin so many things in life. Sex, marriage, food, so many things. One might even say everything is subject to distortion. Name one thing that Satan or mankind does not try to ruin. Brothers and sisters, we should not throw things out just because the world misuses or distorts them. For example, the Christmas tree is a symbol, or can be a symbol, of the eternal life which Christ, the Son of God, offers to man via another tree, the cross. The presence under the tree can remind us of God's gift and our need to give of ourselves to others as those who have received God's gift of life through Christ. Even without seeking special significance in the traditions of Christmas, we could still celebrate this Christmas season for the joy and family fun that the season can bring. Because of our freedom in Christ, under grace, we are at liberty to celebrate Christmas. An important point is that the Bible simply does not condemn the celebration of Christmas, even in the traditional form, and we have liberty in Christ to celebrate Christmas. So from the Religious Liberty Report to you, we wish you a Merry Christmas. And now a message from one of our friends at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Whether you're looking to lead in business, counsel with compassion, run a church, or just enrich your spiritual life, the new programs at South Florida Bible College are designed just for you. Introducing a Master's in Business Administration, Master's in Mental Health Counseling, and a Doctor in Ministry. South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary offering undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees. Available online or on campus in Deerfield Beach, Florida. Explore their diverse range of programs in ministry, theology, business, counseling. As one of the top 10 most affordable Bible colleges in the United States, South Florida Bible College works to provide quality education at an affordable price. With scholarships just a click away, let nothing stop you from pursuing your dreams at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, fully accredited and ready to serve you. For more information, visit them online at sfbc.edu. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for the honor of addressing you on this Religious Liberty Report, this third week of December 2024. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report. For me, an inspiration and honor. If you're new to the report, you can catch us on a live and local Christian radio station, or if you miss our live programs on Saturdays, you can catch us on your favorite podcatcher. Just search for the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano, signing out, catcher. God bless you. And God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our